For more information on the show, visit irlonestar.com/Texas Ticket.
Thank you for listening to Lone Star Community Radio. This program was broadcasted and recorded live from the LSCR studios in downtown Conroe, Texas. Lone Star Community Radio is supported by listeners like you. Donate and sponsor today. For more information on getting involved with Lone Star Community Radio, contact us at lscrstudios@gmail.com or visit us online at www.irlonestar.com.
Welcome to Veterans Air, the Veterans Hour. I'm your host, Douglas B. Veterans Hour is your source for news, talk, and uncensored commentary here for the veteran community here on Lone Star Community Radio. As you can see, I'm not very polished today. I wrote my show, but I didn't practice it as often as I should. You can listen to new shows the first Tuesday of every month on veteransair.us and, of course, on Conroe's FM 106.1 and 104.5, Facebook Live, YouTube, and wherever you get your fine podcasts. As always, a little housekeeping before we start here today. You can contact Veterans Air through our website, www.veteransair.us. Leave us a message, or better yet, contact us in the studio on our Google phone, 936-344-3083. I should start today and let you know that we're going to talk about the VA pay increase and, of course, Venezuela. I should also tell you that the views and opinions of today's program are solely the views and opinions of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, its programming, sponsors, or advertisers. You like that? I did that in my radio voice. It's the new year. I certainly hope everybody had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And hopefully everything this year that we hear on the news about affordability and more money in our paychecks is going to be true. In today's show, we're going to talk about the COLA increase for VA disability and, of course, what's happening in Venezuela. Let's start with VA disability. VA disability compensation increased by 2.8% for 2026. That's effective December 1, and you should see it, or you should have seen it, in your first disability check this month. What is COLA? It's a cost of living allowance. And this cost of living allowance that we get with VA disability is tied to the cost of living increase in Social Security. That includes Social Security disability and regular Social Security insurance. And we're going to talk about this. This automatic adjustment raises monthly pays for veterans with disability, survivors receiving dependency and indemnity compensation, known as DIC, and those receiving special monthly compensation, or SMC. And this is supposed to help keep pace with inflation. And we're going to talk about inflation. But some of the takeaways, some main points that you need to know about this 2.8 increase, COLA increase, is that it applies to, I already said that, and most other VA benefits. And what you need to do to get this 2.8% increase in your disability is absolutely nothing. It happens automatically. But since it's happened automatically with the government, that means you should definitely check your disability payments to ensure that you got the 2.8%. I know, I can hear it already. Doug, the government never makes mistakes. Of course not. But check, it's your money. Examples of increased payments based on this new 2.8 COLA break down like this. If you're a 100% disabled veteran by yourself, no dependents, increase this 2.8% will increase from approximately $3,831.30 to $3,931.30. $38.58. So you see, you got a bump there. If you're a 100% disabled veteran with a spouse, your increase roughly is $3,946.25 to approximately $4,158.16. So exactly how much is this 2.8% increase? Well, for a 100% disabled vet rating, that's an increase of $107.28 a month, or $1,287.36 a year. Is this going to make you rich? Of course not. But it can buy you some things. Now, Dick, don't get excited because I am not 100% disabled, so I ain't getting that big bump in pay. What can this $107 buy you? Well, according to the United States government, groceries, it could get you several weeks worth of basic groceries, perhaps $200 or $300 in food if you're careful, though average monthly food spending is higher. Yes, yes it is. Thank you, Patriot, for keeping me fed. Clothing, a few new shirts, jeans, or a dress, especially during sales. But note that items over $100 are not exempt during tax holidays. And we'll have a tax holiday coming up here in another couple of months, so I just did that check and wanted to throw that in there. Electronics. Budget wireless earbuds. I bought them. They don't work. A smart water bottle. I have no idea what a smart water bottle is. A small portable Bluetooth speaker. Or a basic smartwatch. Dining. It's a nice dinner for two at a mid-range restaurant or several casual meals. For $107, I can say, without a doubt, you can take your loved one to Joe's Italian and get a really, really good meal and still have change left over. Yeah, I like Joe's. Gas, roughly 30 to 40 gallons of gasoline, depending on current prices in your area. I saw gas today at Shell for $2.29. And I'm going to fill up there. Here's a sidebar on this. I usually buy the cheapest gas I can find. Save me a couple of cents. And for whatever reason, I had to fill up with Shell one day, and my gas mileage increased. Buying the expensive gas, I actually got more miles per tank. So maybe there is a difference between gases. Entertainment. Tickets to a museum, a concert, or several movie outings. By several, they probably mean two. Have you been to the movies yet? Have you taken your girlfriend to the movies, your wife to the movies? Because it's expensive, the movie ticket to begin with, and then you have to have popcorn. You have to have something to drink. You've spent $100 easily. Easily. Some key considerations that you need to factor in to your calculations with this 2.8% COLA increase. Sales tax. Texas has a state sales tax rate of 6.25%, which applies to most goods and some services. Local jurisdictions, read Conroe, Montgomery County, can impose an additional sales tax of up to 2% for a maximum combined rate of 8.25%. This means your $107.28 increase will lose 8.25% or $8.85 to sales tax when you go shopping with it. I have a frog in my throat today. I think it's all the cedar pollen in the air. Keep in mind that if you are collecting VA disability and Social Security, that's SSI, or Social Security Disability, SSIDI, those payments have also increased by by 2.8%. Can't tell you what you're going to make because everybody's Social Security and everybody's Social Security disability is different. Personally, for me, I'm taking this increase and I'm going to apply it to credit card debt. Just to the debt of credit cards. If you look at your credit card interest rates, you're looking to pay between 16 and 28% on that credit card debt for most of us. Paying down this debt is essential for your credit scores, and perhaps more importantly, is that it frees up available credit in case of emergencies. If you max out your credit cards and you need them, you will no longer have them. Pay down your credit card debt. That's what I'm doing. I look at how much interest rate I'm paying on these cards, and those are the ones that I focus to get more, like Home Depot. Home Depot's credit card interest rate is astronomical. This COLA increase is tied to the inflation rate. See, I told you we were going to talk about inflation. As of November 2025, the inflation rate was 2.7%. Many people don't understand what that inflation rate means. Inflation refers to the rise in prices of goods and services over time, which reduces the purchasing power of the dollar. The inflation rate is the percentage that describes how quickly these prices are rising. Not an increase in the price, but how fast overall prices are rising. So over any given period of time, we can say that the inflation rate is 2.7%. So overall, on average, prices are rising 2.7%. Fast. Sorry, that came out. That made no sense. What we can say by knowing that the inflation rate was 2.7%, we can say that prices are rising at a rate of 2.7%. They're not increasing by 2.7%, but that's how fast they're rising. We know that prices have increased dramatically over the last couple of years. And a lot of people thought prices would come down if inflation came down. That's just a nice dream. I believe, and I think critically, I want you to think critically for a minute. You were paying a higher cost for goods and services when inflation was high. What incentive does businesses have to lower the price when inflation drops? None. Newsflash. The purpose of being in business is to make money. That's the purpose of the business, is to make money. Inflation is not the only thing that affects your purchases. The Consumer Price Index, known as the CPI, is a better reference for how much that 2.8% COLA buys. All told, an increase in CPI means that a household has to spend more dollars to maintain the same standard of living. That's bad for households, but can be good for businesses and the government. So this soda cost me $2.69. Just bought it. Cost me $2.69. And that price keeps going up and up. And it's going, the faster it goes up, that's your inflation. That's your 2.7%. The faster the price of this COLA goes up. CPI is the average of how much goods are going up, the cost of those goods. To read the Consumer Price Index, you look at its index number. For example, if it has an index number of 110, that means that 10% price increase since the base period. So, like inflation, the CPI is calculated over a period of time. Monthly, quarterly, yearly, normally. So, if you're looking at a consumer price index of 110 base points for the year, that means that prices overall have gone up 10%. The higher the number, or the positive change, means that prices are rising, while a lower number, or negative change, means prices are falling in the CPI. Currently, the CPI is falling and stands at 324.12 points as of November 2025. So the COLA increase may be keeping pace with the inflation rate, but not the consumer price index, which in my opinion is a better comparison. If it's a cost of living allowance or cost of living adjustment, should that not adjustment be made on prices as opposed to inflation? Inflation just tells you how quickly prices are rising. The consumer price index tells you how much those prices are rising. Inflation is 2.7%. Your CPI for November is, what would I say, 324.12. So that's, the prices have increased 32%. Which would you want your cost of living allowance or cost of living adjustment to be based on? The inflation rate?
No.
Or the cost of goods? The consumer price index. The reason, basing it on the consumer price index, that's a better yardstick, if you will, of what it costs a household. They can be vastly different, those two numbers. Vastly different. A few years ago, we had a inflation rate of 9.something%, and we had a CPI of over 40%. 9% or 40%? Which do you want your cost of living adjustment to be based on? I would want it to be based on the consumer price index. So generally speaking, the inflation rate is how fast prices are rising overall, and the consumer price index is how much prices have risen or fallen over the same period of time. Each year, we get an adjustment, or shouldn't say that's not true. Most years, we get an adjustment for cost of living allowance. And that number is tied to the inflation rate. And while we appreciate that cost of living adjustment, we do, we really do, it's a misnomer. It's false to believe that it only costs 2.8% to live more today than it did last year, because that's not true. Inflation is the rate the prices are increasing. The consumer price index is how much they've increased over the same periods of time. Am I talking too fast or too slow? When am I?
What?
I'm at 20? Okay, good. No, we're on time. Let's take a short break here so I can give shout outs. Oh no, I do shout outs by myself, don't I? You can just throw up a graphic for me. Thank you, Dick. Let me give a shout out to the sponsor of our show before I forget. Veterans Air is made possible by the support of East Meets West Productions, a full-service business and marketing consulting firm helping veterans start and fund their businesses for over 30 years. For more information, call 361-904-0044. Like East Meets West, they actually pay my salary while I'm doing this show. Thank you, Darlene. And I want to mention Community Lone Star Community Radio. I'm not doing very well today, Dick. I don't know why. I want to mention Lone Star Community Radio, because without them, I would not have a platform. They allow me to do this. So when you go over to Veterans Air, there's a donate button. I want you to mash that button and donate to Lone Star Community Radio. When you mash that button over at veteransair.us, you're supporting Lone Star Community Radio, which, by the way, is a 501c3, just so you know. You like this show? You want this show to continue on? Go donate to Lone Star Community Radio. Okay, we need to talk about Venezuela, because there's some people out there that are losing their friggin' minds. There's a lot of fear, anxiety, angst over what happened on the 3rd. As veterans, we may be concerned about being pulled into another war, about putting boots on the ground. We just got out of a 20-year war. We don't want to send our sons and daughters over there, our brothers and sisters. We don't want them fighting in another country. I want to state this very succinctly. As of right now, as of this very minute, the United States is not at war with Venezuela or the Venezuelan people. We are not. We went in to get Maduro, and then we got out. What happens after that is yet to be seen. But let's do this calmly and rationally. You know, I work very hard, I do, to provide news, information, and analysis of value to the veteran community. This is delivered without political affiliation or bias. As I've been saying since the beginning of Veterans Air, I am neither a Democrat nor a Republic. I, my good friends, am a constitutional anarchist. I believe in the disbandment of our current government and replacing it with a constitutional government. Yes, I do. I say that. I've read the Constitution and I reread the Constitution all the time. If you have not read the Constitution lately, then you deserve it to yourself to do so. And I'll throw this out there. If you do not have your own copy of the Constitution, you can send me a message at douglasb@veteransair.us, and I will send you, free of charge, no shipping included, a very own personal copy, pocket copy, of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Just send me an email. Say, Doug, send me one of these. Here's my address. And I will stick it in an envelope, and I will send it to you. Because we need to understand what we're protecting. We took an oath to that. So if we don't remember everything in the Constitution, we deserve for ourselves to read that. Now, on January 3rd, the Special Forces, read that as Delta Force, hoo-ha boys, executed a surgical strike in Venezuela and captured Nicolas Maduro and his wife. I'm not going to say that I support or oppose this move. We each have our own reasonings to support or oppose the action. What I'm going to do instead is talk about past precedent and commander-in-chief powers related to this action. I was watching the news before I came in today, and they're now calling this action a law enforcement engagement, that they use the special forces to go grab Maduro and his wife because they've been indicted on drug charges and weapons charges. So it really wasn't a military strike. It was a law enforcement action. they can spin it any way that they want to. And they will. But you and I, we know the truth. It was a military surgical strike to capture Maduro. So, was this legal or not? You all know that I love the Constitution.
Yes.
And it says, the commander-in-chief power for the U.S. is vested in the president. And this comes from Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 of the Constitution, which states the president, and I quote here, shall be commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and of the militia of several states when called into actual service of the United States. Unquote. This clause clearly establishes the president as the ultimate authority over U.S. military, responsible for deploying forces and making deployment decisions. The president is solely responsible. The president is the commander-in-chief. The president makes those decisions. What's that? Yes, I hear the protesters. They're screaming at me. But he didn't talk to Congress. And Congress is the only one that can declare war. Well, they ain't wrong. But they ain't right. The U.S. has not declared war on Venezuela. I say this again. The United States of America is not at war with Venezuela or its people. When we talk about legality, or when the talking heads talk about legality, and I love watching the news programs when we don't know the information, because they always have these experts on that know no more than you or I, but they have an opinion. I love that. And they bring up the War Powers Act of 1973. What is the War Powers Act of 1973? This act, this law, requires that the president shall, in every possible instance, consult with Congress before introducing the United States Armed Forces into hostilities or into situations where imminent involvement is clearly indicated by the circumstances. Shall in every possible instance consult with Congress before he does something. Keep that in mind. It also provides that in the absence of a declaration of war by Congress, in any case in which the armed forces of the United States are introduced into hostilities, or in situations where imminent involvement in hostilities is clearly indicated by the circumstances, such use of the armed forces of the United States in hostilities pursuant to this act shall be reported within 48 hours in writing by the president to the Speaker of the House of Representatives and the president pro tem of the Senate, together with the full account of the circumstances on which hostilities were initiated, the estimate scope and duration of such hostilities, and the constitutional and legislative authority under which the introduction of hostilities took place. That's pretty succinct for a United States law. But, and here's the but, since 1973, the legality of that act has been challenged numerous times. Before we get into what Trump did, let's talk about some precedents. I was recently asked, or challenged rather, if any other president ever deployed troops without congressional authority. The answer to that is, why yes, Virginia. Other presidents since the War Powers Act have done it. And let's look at some of these. Reagan deployed to Grenada and Libya, used military forces in small-scale interventions. We saw Grenada on our TV. We watched it. U.S. troops were there. The Marines. Hoorah. George H.W. Bush invaded Panama to oust Manuel Noriega. I know this as a fact because I was there. Yes, Virginia, they deployed my beloved 10th Mountain there. We went. Clinton engaged in peacekeeping and humanitarian interventions in Bosnia, Haiti, and Kosovo. George W. Bush initiated major conflicts, though Congress passed authorizations for the use of military later on. He did this in Afghanistan and Iraq. How do I know? Again, Gulf War. How about Obama? Obama authorized airstrikes and drone operations without full congressional approval. In Libya, he did this to take out some terrorists. And Trump ordered lethal strikes and military actions without prior congressional approval to go get Soleimani. And just recently here in Venezuela. So this has been going on since the War Powers Act. Presidents have done this. And they were able to do this because of Article 2, Section, what is it? Article 2, Section 2. Article 2, Clause 1. Without a doubt, the president should have consulted Congress before he sent the special forces. Under the War Powers Act, he should have. His administration says they were afraid of leaks if he was to notify Congress beforehand. He was afraid that there would be leaks and the operation would be in jeopardy. Congressman leaking classified information. Nah, that never, ever happens. He was also supposed to notify Congress within 48 hours of the operation, and he didn't. He did not notify Congress in writing, until last night. Third, fourth, fifth, he missed his deadline. We all know, expecting congressmen to watch the news and know that something happened is idiotic. We all know that most of Congress can't walk and chew gum at the same time. To expect them to know what everyone else on the face of the planet knows is just ridiculous. Now you know why I had that statement at the beginning of the show. The question we must be asking is, will President Trump commit boots on the ground to run Venezuela or not? Depending on your critical thinking matrix, you may say he's going to put boots on the ground because he's a dictator. You may say he's not going to put boots on the ground, but he's going to orchestrate with the Venezuelan government to return Venezuela to the democracy it once was. We don't know what's going to happen. You should be voicing your opinion to your congressmen and senators of what should be happening. I will tell you this, that 25, 23 years ago, Venezuela was the French Riviera of South America. It was a very prosperous country. And then they elected Hugo Chavez and then Nicolas Morano. What's his name? Morano, They elected him and socialist, and now they live in poverty. They're eating their pets down there. Yes, it's true. They're eating their pets. The protesters are telling you no blood for oil. I don't think it's just about oil. I don't think it's just about natural resources. I don't think it's about any of that. I think that President Trump truly believes that Maduro is the head of a cartel sending drugs to America. I truly believe he believes this. But we'll see. We will see. Where am I at time-wise?
36.
I'm at what? 36. Oh, my God. I went too fast. You should have told me to slow down. I get excited. The cries of this was not a legal operation. The cries of this is going to embolden our adversaries. There may be some truth in there. There may not be some truth in there. But again, we're critically thinking. This is going to embolden China to invade Taiwan. Newsflash, China is going to invade Taiwan with or without this happening. They've said they're going to do this. They're poised to do this. Because Trump did this thing that's going to make them invade Taiwan. They're already going to invade Taiwan. It's going to embolden Putin with respect to the Ukraine. Russia's already at war with the Ukraine. They're beating the hell out of them. How is this one action going to embolden them to do what? They're not going to seek peace. Putin doesn't want peace. Putin wants the Ukraine. Putin wants the rest of the Soviet satellite states. He wants to return to the USSR. He said this. I'm not making this up. This is not my opinion. They've said these things. It's going to embolden Iran. Iran has already declared war against the United States and Israel. How is this going to embolden them more? They're going to attack the United States? Let's get serious. Iran couldn't attack its way out of a paper bag with both ends open. Yes, I said it. Now, when we see these things that happen, it's very easy to look at it in just its context. That's the only thing that's going on. But that's not true. We have to look at the bigger picture. Do you know what diplomacy is? Diplomacy is saying, nice doggy doggy, until you find a big effing stick. That's what diplomacy is. And right now, Trump and his cabinet and the Secretary of War, what they're trying to do is return America to being the big stick. That's right. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make America the big bad boy on the block, the bully. Ask yourself this question. Were you the kid on the playground or were you the bully on the playground? If you were the kid on the playground, you tried to avoid the bully on the playground. Is America trying to be a bully? Of course it is. Absolutely.
So,
are we colonizing? Is it colonizing? Is that the word? Colonizing? Are we colonizing the Western Hemisphere? No, we're not. But we're going to make the Western Hemisphere respect the United States of America. When I was in uniform, I would tell my soldiers that there's two things that you can do when you're thinking about me. You can either respect me or fear me. Either way works out for me, because you're doing what I tell you to do. America, in our commander-in-chief, has set that as policy. You can respect us or you can fear us. The choice is yours. Our allies hopefully respect us. Our enemies or adversaries hopefully fear us. America, for too long, has bowed down to the rest of the world because we didn't want to upset them. President Trump, I don't believe he cares whether he upsets somebody or not. I think that's true if you just listen to the way he talks about people. How he talks about congressmen, how he talks about reporters, calls people stupid and ugly and idiots. He doesn't care. And you know what? When you don't care, it's a very freeing place of mind to be. America should be the shining light of the world. I was at a campaign a few years back, a rally, and a nice Venezuelan woman stood up to speak. She was a past Miss Venezuela for the Universe Beauty Pageant, that was called, Miss Universe. Yeah, she was Miss Venezuela. She was also a reporter who had to flee Venezuela because Maduro had a hit out on her. And she talked about coming to America and what America is for the rest of the world. What America means to those people that are oppressed. And what she said stuck with me to this day. If we lose America, if America stops being the constitutional republic that it was meant to be, there will be no place else for the refugees to flee to. Think about that. This is a woman who fled her country because her government put a price out on her head because she was writing about Maduro. She had to flee to America. And she got here and she said, if we lose America, there's no place else on the world to flee. America, and I know we were talking about Venezuela, but America has a responsibility to its citizens and to the rest of the world. It has a responsibility to its citizens to follow the Constitution. It has a responsibility for the rest of the world to be an example of how a constitutional republic should be ran. Did you know that if you move to Germany, France, England, China, Japan, if you move there, you can never be German, French, Japanese, Chinese. You can't. You can live there, but you can never be them. Be them. You can come to America the right way, work hard, follow our laws, assimilate into our culture, and you can become a citizen. You can become American. Nowhere else in the world. But here, can you do that? This year, America will celebrate its 250th birthday. That's fairly young looking at other countries in the world. Hell, my wife from Rheinberg, Germany, when I was there, the city celebrated its 750th year. That's a city, just a city celebrating that. America is going to celebrate 250 years of its birth. It's important that every American celebrates that and holds that in reverence. It's an accomplishment that freedom has lasted that long. I hope you join me to do that. We're going to do something for 250 every show. Don't know what, but we will. All right, I guess I've talked enough for today. I got on my soapbox. Listen, if you want to be a guest on the show, please contact me. I'm always looking for guests. I guess that's it. You want to tune in February 3rd at 1 p.m. for our next show. I haven't figured out what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to review a book. Don't know what it's going to be, what the show's going to be about, but it's bound to be entertaining. You know me. I want to leave you with a song by our good friend Sailor Jerry. You can go download it from veteransair.us or on iTunes. And while we're listening, let us remember our brothers and sisters in uniform that today are standing in harm's way to stand for our freedoms and our liberties. If you are wearing the uniform, I want to say to you, thank you. I want to say to you, I'm proud of you. And until next month, stay safe and stay vigilant.
You packed your bags and shut the door. You crossed the sea to fight a war. You didn't know just what would happen to you. Stepped in the dirt, boots on the ground, and gunfire was the only sound. And to yourself you whispered, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Every day you walk the walk, you fight the fight. You never saw the end inside, now did ya? The tears are washing a haze of red, the blood, the mud, too many dead. Your weary soul is crying. Through, but the battle lives inside of you. It's a